You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You know, typically, I start the show with a topic because, you know, that makes talk shows better when there's a topic to discuss, you know, rather than me just like randomly, hey, what do you think about this? But today, I will not be starting with a topic. Today, it's going to be a little bit different. Today, we will be starting with a prayer. A prayer to the sports gods. Because the sports gods need to hear from us. They've been cruel this week. They've been downright dastardly with some of the things that they have thrust upon us. And I believe you may know of which I speak, and that is the injuries to both Patrick Mahomes and Zion Williamson. I mean, was it the same day, essentially? Back-to-back days? It was the same day, right? Like, you find out that Patrick Mahomes has a knee injury, where you see Patrick Mahomes get a knee injury, and you find out that Zion Williamson has a knee injury. And that's not right. You know, it's not a video game, I understand. You can't just turn injuries off. I think we would all select that mode if we could apply that mode in real life, turn injuries off. Injuries are a part of sports. And with Mahomes, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. When you play professional tackle football, at some point you're getting injured. It would be remarkable. I mean, maybe Eli Manning deserves a little more credit for how long he stayed upright without an injury. Because otherwise, I can't think of a player who hasn't suffered a major injury at some point, right? Even the guys who are protected, even Tom Brady and Peyton Manning had major injuries at various points in their career. Patrick Mahomes, though, I think it's fair to say he's the single most entertaining thing to watch in the NFL right now. And he was already hobbled. And generally, you know, like you hear about the risk of re-injury. It's not a coincidence that when guys are already dealing with an injury, they tend to come down with another injury. That's the way the body works. What bone is connected to the other bone, you know, head, shoulders, knees, and toes, and all that. It's all connected. There's compensation. Now, this was an impact injury too, but the joint may not have been as strong because of the compensation. Nevertheless, Mahomes goes down with a dislocated knee. Luckily, it appears that it's the least severe version, meaning no ligament damage, meaning he could probably be back in a few weeks. It remains to be seen whether he will be mobile or, you know, able to move around the same way he typically does on that knee. But the dislocation without the ligament damage is not a long-term thing. That's like basically you pop it back in, you have to wait for the inflammation and everything to go down, and then you're back out there. You know, remember when Caris LeVert went down last year and it just looked awful? I told people, wait a second, that looks like to me his ankle's dislocated. Let's see if there's, you know, ligament damage. And there wasn't really that much, and he was back the same season. When you saw that at first, you thought, oh my God, his career's over, right? And he's only out, a handful of weeks or whatever it was. Patrick Mahomes, same deal with the knee. And, you know, there's also a different, this is one football you could actually get back quicker than I think basketball, because basketball, you need more of your explosion, more fast twitch and all that than you do in football. So, For Patrick Mahomes, I offer this prayer to the sports gods. Dear sports gods, we all like watching Patrick Mahomes. Do not take him from us. Please, allow him to return at full strength in just a few weeks. And when he does return, keep him from suffering further harm. It is for the good of the NFL season, for his own well-being, of course, and for the good of all fans. I offer this prayer to the sports gods for the health of Patrick Mahomes. Then there's Zion Williamson, who is a beast. I mean, is just a monster. And I think to his own detriment, you know, Zion is so big, so powerful and explosive that when he goes up with that frame and comes down with that frame, then it's going to take a toll. It's going to take a toll. I'm worried or concerned about that because he's now had a couple. I mean, he's barely been in the. I mean, he's never played an NBA game, right? And he's now already had a few injuries. And I think ultimately he's going to have to shed some weight, maybe 20, 30 pounds even. As crazy as that sounds. But and I'm not saying he's fat or anything. Don't take this the wrong way. It's not like me saying Zion is fat. Look at the guy. He's not fat, right? He's a monster. But he needs to be streamlined for the wear and tear on those joints, as explosive as he is. Because when he's taking off, he's taking off with force. I mean, this is not a guy who plays, you know, dialed back. This is a guy who goes 100 miles an hour. That's part of what makes him special is his motor. I think what makes Zion special, you know, the two things that make him special, one is physical gifts, obviously, and two is his motor, which I suppose could be a physical gift, but you know what I'm saying. He's going. He's like a cat out there. So Zion Williamson, I think best case scenario for him is he shed some weight so that the repetition on his joints is not as significant, because nothing's going to stop him from going up and getting after it. I mean, he's shooting something like 70-something percent in the preseason because he's attacking and he's at the rim. I mean, he reminds me of Shaq more than anyone, to be honest. A different kind of player than Shaq was, different size or at least height than Shaq was, but just as a force of nature, he reminds me of Shaquille O'Neal. So, for Zion Williamson, I offer this prayer to the sports gods. Dear sports gods, not Zion. I mean, come on. He hasn't even played a game in the NBA. And I won't get greedy here. I'm not asking for him to make the season opener, even though I don't care at all about Pelicans Raptors anymore if Zion's not playing in that game and that's the first game of the season. I'll be good with that. Fine. Just let him be healthy overall. Just let him return sooner rather than later and not go back on the injury list. Don't let his ability to destroy rims destroy him. Please, allow Zion Williamson to flourish and make sure his shoes don't explode. Zion. So, those are my offerings this morning to the sports gods for the health of Patrick Mahomes and for the health of Zion Williamson, because the world of sports are more healthy with both of them in it. And I think on that we can all agree. I will get to topics on this show sooner rather than later. And, you know, I can't believe the NBA China thing still has some legs. And I got something to say about that. I've had a week to think about that. And I think people are being ridiculous. Another death in boxing. Just sad to see. And, of course, the Yankees force a game six against the Astros last night. But before we get into any of that or the NFL schedule, if you would like to offer a prayer to the sports gods for either Patrick Mahomes or Zion Williamson or both, now is your time. I don't even know what it's called, the pulpit? What's it called? I'm not really a religious guy. The stage, whatever it would be. If this was the, have you guys seen the Righteous Gemstones at all? You know, one of those stages, the Joel Osteen platform? I offer it to you. It can be yours. You will have your moment, and you can send one up to the sports gods for the health, dear sports gods, of Patrick Mahomes and Zion Williamson. I ask of you, please, keep them healthy. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. You want to say a prayer to the sports gods? Please, feel free. We need to get all that energy out into the air. We need to make sure Mahomes and Zion are okay. 855-212-4227. Once again, it is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
I did not stay up late because I knew I was getting up early. Logic. How do you like that? Logic. You know, what happened last night? Well, the Yankees stayed alive in that series. That series feel like there's something about that one that feels bigger than every other baseball game I've watched this year, including, like, I mean, I know the Nationals made it to the World Series and everything. Just something. Is it simply the Yankees factor? Is it because people think they're the two best teams? I don't know. It was Sunday night. I was watching the baseball game and flipping over to the football game, and the baseball game just felt, you know, I mean, obviously it was more important, but there was just something about that series that to me gives it a little gravitas. And I guess it is just because it's the two best teams remaining. The Yankees have that brand. The Astros are not that far removed from winning the World Series. And there's, for what baseball has, star power in that series. When Aaron Judge and, you know, Stanton, when he's been healthy, and Torres, and, you know, on the Dodgers side, Astros side, Altuve, you know, so there's just something captivating about that series. So it's nice to see it extended a little bit, because the Yankees looked finished after game four of that series. And now that, you know, you're headed to a game six, I'm hoping for a game seven. Let me just put it that way. If they had lost, Yankees had lost that game, it would be all of a sudden, hey, Brian Cashman, how could you put? I love that. Yeah, the way those moods can change, like from one game to another, because they were ready. Now it's like, hey, keep hope alive. The Yanks are battling. They're still in it. I never doubted this team. If they had lost, Brian Cashman, how could you do this? Yeah, it's true too. You know, I've done a lot of New York radio in my day, and I've one of my favorite things is like doing a New York radio show in the midst of, like, right before the playoffs start, when the Yankees have clinched, and you have all these Yankees fans who are angry complaining about something. It's like, dude, what are you complaining about? Your team is every year basically in this position. Is that such a bad thing? I mean, obviously you want them to win the World Series. I mean, like, I understand. I get it. It's not a hard concept to grasp that the ultimate goal is for the team to win the World Series. I mean, duh. But every year you're winning 100-something games, and you're in position to possibly win the World Series. And for them, I understand there was the one issue that everybody pointed to, especially around the All-Star break, and that being the lack of a acquisition when it comes to a frontline starting pitcher. And that's something that's been bothering Yankees fans for a long time, especially the way like it seems like Brian Cashman hasn't put his chips or pushed his chips into the middle of the table. But is that really, you know, crippling them right now? And their bullpen is super strong. And the way that baseball is played nowadays, I mean, I love the way that bullpens are starting to be utilized and have been utilized. And you know, you even have a bullpen game coming up, I think, in game six, right? It sounds to me like they're going in that direction as far as how they're going to approach that game without a prototypical starter out there. I always used to wonder why, for instance, the closer position. Why was this position designated, this role designated for a hypothetical situation? You know, Mariano Rivera is probably the only closer I can think of who has a true mystique about him or had a true mystique about him. Otherwise, it feels like something that is good for a movie. You know, oh, here comes Rick Wild Thing Bond. Wild Thing, here he comes. Yeah, the closer's here. You know, like Mariano Rivera had that aura about him with the Metallica song. What's the Metallica song called? Exit Light. Yeah, that one. the Enter Sandman, I should know that. And that felt like, oh, the game is over, right? But other than Mariano Rivera, what was the point of a closer? How did that make any sense? It made no sense, right? Like, yes, let's save our best relief pitcher for a possible situation that may or may not happen. You know, like, anybody can close a 3-0 game, right? Like, anybody can get three outs in the ninth inning when you're up 3-0. You know what everybody can't do? Get you out of a jam when they got first and third with one out in a one-run game in the bottom of the seventh. You know, that's when I would turn to my best relief pitcher, when I needed them. You know, like, not, yeah, you know, we'll save him, you know, for this. So I like the fact that bullpens are starting to be used like that, not just, you know, for the closer spot. I'm just using that to illustrate the broader point. Same thing with starters. Like, does it matter if someone is labeled a starter? Oh, you know what matters? If you record 27 outs. That's what you need to do. Record 27 outs and have a higher score than the other team at the end of those 27 outs. So I don't necessarily think, you know, the idea that you have to acquire the ace pitcher or it has to be done in starting pitching is relevant to the same degree as it once was. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't help. I mean, look, the Astros are in the position they're in largely because they have high-quality starting pitching. My point overall is basically just the Yankees are an excellent team, right? Can anyone argue against that? Worst-case scenario, they're losing in six with a chance to have gone to the World Series. Like, that's the worst-case scenario for them. They won 100-something games. If you look at their march through the playoffs so far, it's not, you know, they've had some games where the pitching wasn't stellar, but it's not as exactly like it's getting shelled. That's not the, you know, that you look at their losses, they're not shelled in most of those losses. They lost to Houston 3-2 in 11 innings in game two of this series. I'll take my chances if I have the Yankees lineup and I've surrendered two runs going into the 11th. They lost game four 4-1. I mean, the only game where they were kind of shelled was in game five. Otherwise, I don't think really the failure of them would be pointed out to that one issue as much as Houston's awesome. You know, you got two really good teams on paper. Probably, I think the two best teams are playing, and maybe it is the real World Series, though baseball is a bit of a crapshoot. No one would have thought the Nationals would be where they are right now, and they've been pretty damn good in getting there. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's Robin Lundberg. You know, the China thing's still going on. And you had what LeBron said this week. And you had Kyrie Irving last night. And, you know, Adam Silver also spoke this week. And I'm kind of fed up. I really am. Because I've seen so many people condemning the NBA for how this situation was handled. I kind of think they should be commended. And I'll tell you why coming up next. Because I think you got a lot of people who are faking the funk out there. Who aren't being real. Who are angrily shaking their fists and not doing a damn thing.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio on a Saturday morning. Meanwhile, on Sunday, the NFL on CBS is at Lambeau Field with the Packers hosting the Raiders, plus a key AFC South clash between Houston and Indianapolis. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you ready for all the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. All right. I got to tell you, I got to be honest. And please do not allow what I'm about to say to have any impact on how you view the actual situation in China. Right? Like, different. If you're passionate about that, there is a lot to be rightfully passionate about. I'm not saying anything about that. I mean, I'll talk about it, but I mean, what I'm about to say is not related to that. It's about the reaction to the NBA in China and the NBA situation with China. And I'm pretty fed up with it. I think a lot of people are fronting hard and pretending that they have been invested in this, that this is an issue that they're passionate about. And really, it feels like a convenient excuse to degrade NBA players and to accuse the league of hypocrisy. That's what it feels like. It feels like a story that is so much bigger in the media than it is with the actual fan base and media types talking about it. And then people, you know, on social media who love doing their angry fist shaking thing. There's an angry fist shaking thing every day, right? About something. And usually it doesn't lead to anything. The same people who are doing the angry fist shaking don't do a damn thing about the thing they're shaking their fist at. They just like to be heard and seen. You know, you could take LeBron's comments from this week. And look, LeBron, he should have known better. He's polished. He's been around the block. You have a week to say something, then you don't need to clarify it. You shouldn't need to clarify it. He could have came better than that. Why did his comments need clarification? Come on, dude. You know as soon as you talk, it's going to be everywhere. But his clarification made sense to me. You know, if Daryl Morey was as passionate about the issue in China as his tweet would make it seem, then he would know what he was about to do to the people who were already on their way there and didn't plan that trip. The NBA didn't plan, or the NBA players didn't plan the trip to China. That wasn't something that they mapped out. They were already on their way there. They were going to be there. They were there. You know, if you were as concerned about the actions the Chinese government has taken and might take, maybe you didn't want to put them in that position. And I would never tell anyone they shouldn't speak out about something that means a lot to them or they're passionate about. I mean, but sometimes free speech costs money. And Daryl Morey's tweet costs a lot of money. And you know, the thing everyone is accusing the NBA of and LeBron of, I could say the same thing about Daryl Morey right now. Well, you know, they're protecting their money. Where's Daryl Morey been since he sent that tweet? You heard from him? You seen him anywhere? He deleted that tweet, right? You know, because he saw the reaction from his boss and the possible fallout, and he's laid low. He's laid low. Why? Probably to protect his job and protect his paycheck. And I don't blame him for that, by the way. I'm not saying anything derogatory about the man. I might do the same thing. A lot of people might do the same thing. But that's the exact same thing people are accusing NBA players of doing, or the NBA of doing, protecting the money. Because if he cared that deeply, if it was that important to him, it wouldn't matter. He'd continue doing it anyway. I mean, one of my problems with his tweet actually was that it wasn't strong enough. I wish he had taken a stronger position. I mean, it was clear where he stood, but he didn't articulate why with that. And I think it would have been helpful to enlighten a lot of people as to why. Because there's a lot of people all of a sudden who pretend that they're experts in Chinese geopolitical politics. And all of a sudden, again, the people that were telling NBA players to shut up and dribble are the same ones who now want them to be international diplomats. Give me a break. You know, because I've seen, again, a lot of angry fist shaking. But who have you seen that suggested what or how the NBA should have done better? Where? Where have you seen that? What should they have done better? You know, Adam Silver came out the other day and said that the Chinese government asked them to fire Daryl Morey. And he said that they would not fire him, nor would they discipline him. Now, the Chinese government, for what it's worth, has denied that. But I ask you this question. How or, you know, what should the NBA have done better? Were they perfect? No, they weren't perfect. Their initial statement was a little weak. Just like, you know, I said LeBron, when he came out, his comments shouldn't need clarification after a week. He could have done better. The NBA could have done better with their initial statement. But after that, what else did you want from them? What else did you want from them? I mean, they protected Morey's free speech, even though it cost money. And speaking of speech, you heard from LeBron James. You heard from Adam Silver. You heard from Greg Popovich. You heard from Steve Kerr. You heard from Steph Curry. And of course, you heard from Daryl Morey. The NBA isn't kowtowing to China just because you didn't like what some of them had to say. Because they were allowed to say what they wanted to say. And the NBA has a lot of fans in China. A lot of them. They were serving those fans. Now, were they operating as a business? Of course, they are a business. So, if you wanted to say they should halt all dealings in China, all right, let's talk about that. They should halt all business dealings in China. Where were these calls before? Did you hear one person saying that before this happened? One. Find me one person who is calling for the NBA to halt their business dealings in China before the Daryl Morey fallout. And then if that's your position, that they should halt all business dealings in China, are you saying the same thing of Disney? Are you saying the same thing of Apple? Because wouldn't you be the one who is a giant hypocrite if you're only asking for the NBA to do so? And you're not asking the people who make the movies you watch or the phone that you're using to call into this show at 855-212-4227? Again, I think a lot of people are fronting real hard just so they can yell at some NBA players or accuse the league of hypocrisy. Meanwhile, the league itself, they got out of China without incident. They played in front of their fans over there. And they upheld their ideals and values. And they're going to lose money over it. Maybe they protected some of it. But again, they are a business. No one, you know, just because the NBA has given its players or their players feel more free to use a platform to speak does not mean all of a sudden they became, you know, a nonprofit human rights organization. And if you're asking anybody, are you pro human rights? Of course they're going to tell you yes. If you're asking anybody here, are you pro Free speech, of course they're going to tell you yes. But again, this feels like a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about arguing with a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about. And I've learned a lot about the situation in China over the last couple of weeks. But to ask, you know, like, people who don't live there, don't go through that every day to be experts on it, that's not a fair standard just because they've spoken out about things at home. You know, I always say I can relate everything in life to a Jay-Z lyric. There's a Jay-Z lyric says, there's much bigger issues in the world I know, but first I had to take care of the world I know. And, yeah. I mean, when you wake up every day and you're dealing with the American news cycle and the issues that affect you and that you live or your family lives through or your friends live through or that you live through or you care about, you know, when it comes to this country, you may feel a different way than you do about someplace else in the world. That does not mean you shouldn't be passionate about that other place. That does not mean that there aren't real issues in that other place. But it's not a fair standard to ask everybody to be completely as enlightened, as informed, or as passionate about those things as they are the things at home. And by the way, who are you to think that LeBron James is the person that needs to answer these questions for you? Come on, get a hold of yourselves. I just got a little sick of it because it just feels so phony to me. Look at me, I'm shaking my fist angrily. All right, what are you doing about it? What should they do better? Tell me. Or just you just want to criticize somebody. 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to Jared in Dallas, Pennsylvania. Jared, you're up first here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Jared.
So, you know, I have no problem with athletes giving their opinion on stuff. You know, I have pretty strong opinions on different things, but I'm not going to look down on someone because they have different opinions, especially when it comes to politics or religion or anything. But my problem with LeBron right now is how far he's backtracked. You know, he has, and listen, I'm not making this a Trump thing. I'm just telling you what happened. You know, he has come out and he endorsed Hillary Clinton a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And he's talked about Trump. You know, he's talked about political things in the past is what I'm trying to say.
But because he's talked about political things in the past, he must talk about all political things, including ones that aren't in the United States of America?
No, well, he did talk about it. That was on him. He did talk about it. But now to say, basically, well, the NBA, we have nowhere, no, there's nowhere here that we should be talking about politics. This is the NBA. This is a business. You know, that's basically he's
that's not what he said, though.
He pretty much said that. What did he say exactly?
He said that you don't have to speak out on every issue. He also said
he did speak out on the issue.
Well, yeah, okay. You're saying you don't, you know, get mad at people if you don't like what they said. You just didn't like what he said. He said, no. And again, I already said, Jared, that he should have been stronger in his first comments because of who he is and because he had time to prepare. But if you take his clarification at face value, what he said was that Daryl Morey should have known better than to put the players who were already in China or on their way to China into that situation. At that time, you know, so, and do you disagree with that? Because if Daryl Morey was as informed about the Chinese government as his tweet would make you believe, then he should have known what was about to happen in China with the NBA.
Yeah, I don't mind. I disagree with what LeBron said initially because I don't think he's educated enough to know what was going on with China. You know, I have a brother who lives in South Korea. He's been there for 20 years. So I hear a lot about what goes on in China. And, you know, I think that LeBron just wasn't really educated. And that's fine. That's fine. I think that maybe he learned a little bit through this. But my problem is right now he's backtracking. And I don't like the fact that he's saying, well, we can't talk politics now. Well, you did talk politics.
He did not say that, but you're now putting words. He did not say – he said he's not a – I think he might have said he's not a politician or something. But he didn't say you couldn't – he said you can speak out about whatever you want, but you have to realize there can be consequences to what you say, which is also true.
Yeah, I think that you're, you know, maybe we got a little bit of a different spin on this. I take it more as him saying he got caught up in a situation that he didn't want to get caught up in because he said something he shouldn't have said. And, you know, and now he's trying to backtrack and say, like, listen, you know, I shouldn't have said, you know, not that I shouldn't have said it, but I'm not a politician, so what do I know? But, like, if that's your view, then stick with it. Like,
I feel like that's way too myopic a line of thinking. Life is not that way. It's not black and white. There's a lot in between. So, like, speaking out about Trump is the president of the United States. You know, he's living that every day. He is tweeting at some of these guys. They're, you know, I'll use myself as an example, right? I'm not an ignorant person. I keep myself informed. I have spoken out about plenty of things in the past. I do not speak out about everything because I don't know everything.
Well,
and it's like
that.
That's a ridiculous standard to hold people to. It's absurd.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It is. Steph, it's absurd.
No, Steph Curry answered it correctly. He said, "I am not informed enough to comment on this." Whereas LeBron James thinks he knows everything, and he commented on it without being informed about it.
But
You're
I'm
right.
not talking about LeBron James. What I was talking about is the NBA overall. And I said, verbatim, I said the NBA overall is not kowtowing to China just because you didn't like what some of them had to say. So you might not have liked what LeBron had to say. Fine. But the overall takeaway has been like, the NBA is cowering to China. I don't understand.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that at all. I just think that if LeBron James has a strong opinion on China and a strong opinion on what was tweeted, just stick with that. Don't come out a week later because you get in a backlash and say.
But when did he come out a week later? He didn't say anything about it until that comment.
Well, he's staying quiet. That's my point. Well, like, okay, I shouldn't say that. He's staying quiet now. He's gotten to the point where he's kind of cowering because he's afraid that he's going to like offend or something. Like, stick with it. If that's your opinion,
stick with it. What opinion should he stick with? That's where I'm lost.
The opinion that the tweet was inappropriate and. It was bad timing.
Which he said, and he did stick with that. He didn't back off that comment. That's exactly what he said. He doubled down on it the next day. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.